The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up.
Some fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root.
Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants.
Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
And now from verses 18 to 23. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path.
The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away.
The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful.
But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
The second reading comes from Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A warm welcome from wherever you're watching this service. My name's Neil, and I'm part of the leadership team here at All Saints. Today, we're going to dig into the parable of soil, seeds, and the sower. We're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to sift the soil. We're going to smell the earth and see what we find. We're going to play a short video clip of Farmer Neil. Let's take a moment to see why living soil is so important to us all, and why the Maker's Handbook tells us to be good stewards of the earth. So why is the soil so important to all of us? Well, just about everything we eat, every day, 8 billion people on this planet, comes to us because of the soil. Without it, we would starve. So, how much soil have we got? So I'm going to do a quick illustration here. One can imagine this apple represents the world. And how much of that do we rely on to grow all of our food? Well, roughly, two-thirds of the globe is covered in water or mountains, completely useless for producing crops. So that's no good. Of the one-third of the world that's left, we've already depleted soil so badly that a third of that has turned to desert or become unfarmable. So, that's the bit that's left. Roughly, 90% of all the food we consume relies entirely on the top 6 inches of the Earth's crust, the topsoil, to grow. So when all said and done, there's the world. That's what sustains every animal and every person on this planet every day. And seeing as at the moment we don't have a new Earth to go to, it'd be a good idea to consult the Maker's handbook and look after the one he's given us. There's so much in this passage this morning. The more I've studied it and looked at it, the more has come to me. So I'm going to try and make sense of some of it, and we'll see where we get to. Thank you.
At first look, the parable appears to be mainly about the hearts, the faces and the minds of the crowds following Jesus, and invites us to compare ourselves and our church life. Some block their ears and shut their eyes and refuse to engage with the word of God, signs and wonders, as Jesus speaks. Others quickly and enthusiastically at the time germinate but fail to get their roots down deep. They soon forget and move on to the next experience the world has to offer. Yet more are unable to sustain growth because they're trapped by the world's riches and values, and they choose not to let go of greed, power, self-gratification, and the love of money. And lastly, those who are open and eager to listen, learn all they can and love the seeds from the sower, and go on to bear much fruit, 30 or even 100 times. It is good to remind ourselves of the broken relationships in Genesis, which Jan spoke to us about a few weeks ago. As the apple was picked and eaten, four relationships were shattered. The choices we are free to make every day as consumers and producers, right down to the invisible life in the soil, shape our relationship or our number with God, His creation, and the people around us. People are complex, never all good and never all bad. For myself, I know I'm a mix of all four. On different days, the balance moves between compaction, stones, weeds, and creation's beautiful, life-giving soil. I know I need to make more right choices. So what does sowing look like in today's world? What has 70 years of fossil fuel-driven food production achieved? Have we put the Maker's handbook to one side and applied all the science and technology money could buy? The system is driven by profit, share value and bonuses. Therefore, efficiency and productivity have soared. We, the consumer, are driving this. We are the ones who give permission through our choices. This picture could have been taken in any agricultural region of the world. Known as breadbaskets, the natural landscapes destroyed, wildlife pushed to the margins, the soil so depleted that no food can grow without its daily cocktail, a fix of drugs to control disease, weeds, and provide the missing nutrients needed for life and for growth. Living soil has been replaced by a silica medium. Food production has become a chemistry set. This picture sums up so much of what is wrong with the world. Few nature programs or tourists ever visit these vast prairies. This piece of machinery weighs over 70 tons. It's 25 meters wide and can drive itself with a 50 millimeter tolerance across blocks of land over a kilometre wide. I wonder how many men and horses this one self-steering GPS-guided sower has replaced. Maybe you'd like to calculate over coffee and then post your thoughts on the Zoom comments. I'd be interested to know what you think. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Do we need to go back to the past, or do we need to find a new future? It is a masterpiece of 70 years of agricultural evolution, driven by cheap food policy around the world and a lack of regulation. As many costs as possible are externalised to the state and to the environment. That's God's creation. The inherited skills of the sower or farmer over generations have been replaced by techniques of unsustainable mining, supported by chemistry. It seems we forgot to account for the true costs. It's difficult to think that many of the food crops that we rely on for today behave like drug addicts, supported and encouraged by drug dealers, all in the name of cheap food for consumers, and profit for the multinational companies, and opportunities for the corrupt. The two soil samples are taken from the same field. The one on the right taken 1950, before agrochemical farming, and the one on the left in 2000, 50 years of chemical farming. As you can see, they're completely different soils. All of the carbon and all of the biological life has disappeared from the left-hand sample. It's easy to see just by looking at the colour. The carbon's no longer there. The soil has lost its resilience, its fertility, and ability to hold water in the summer and to be free draining in the winter. This adds to the problems of flooding and drought caused by climate change. The carbon and the organic matter have disappeared into the air and the watercourse, causing pollution, instead of safely and usefully being stored in the soil. Biological life in the soil, creation's free workforce, is depleted by more than 90%. Time-lapse records the two different soil samples, the biological life recycling organic matter, crop residue and leaves at the end of the season, returning the nutrients and the carbon to the soil as nature expected, natural sustainability as the handbook intended. Watch the incredible biology, pulling down all of that dry matter into the soil and turning it into nutrients ready to feed next year's crop. Our thanks go to Chaplain Mark Newman for this one. I'd forgotten about it, but he reminded me, so here we go. The underpants. A practical demonstration. Two pairs of boxer shorts were buried in the two different soils for 3 weeks and then dug up. As you can see, those in the healthy, nutrient, biologically rich soil have been recycled. All the natural materials, cotton, wool, silk, have been broken down and returned to the soil, ready to feed next year's crop. Only the man-made nylon, elastic and polyester are left behind to cause pollution. Whilst the other pair, buried in the intensively farmed and degraded soil, are still intact and ready to go. In fact, most of the men I know would happily put them straight back on. By the way, the initials at the top are merely coincidence. The seeds. Where can we find them? They're stored and kept safe in the Bible. So whenever we read and study Scripture, when we learn not only to hear and see, but also to understand, we find seeds. Whenever we share with others, we receive and give seeds. Whenever we pray to the sower, he shows us seeds. What do they look like? Seeds are anything we experience that gives us a glimpse into God's world. Where in God's economy, wastefulness turns to hope, inefficiency turns to love, and profit equals generosity. When conditions are right, if we plant a wheat seed, we get a wheat crop. If we plant a carrot, we get a carrot. But if we plant an apple seed, do we get an apple? Well, maybe not, but that's for another story. I'd like to take us back to Jan's four B's, for us as a church and as individuals. The first B is to bless others in the community. The second one, belong, be active in the life of the church. The third one, believe, be expectant with open eyes, ears and soft hearts. And the last one, behave. Become a generous sower of God's seeds. We can use this as a mirror to check out the health of our internal soil and that of the church. This is really important at this time of interregnum, as we seek God's will for a new leader, as we attempt to draw up a parish profile. I'd like to encourage each one of you to take an active role in this. I believe the most important part of the parable is the sower, God the Father. He didn't use a spreadsheet and precision ag software to work out where and how to sow the least amount of seed and only on the most productive and deserving ground to give him the best financial return, as all farmers can today. He sows freely with unconditional generosity and love. Whatever hand life has dealt us, or choices we have made, God is sowing into our situation. When we receive the sower's seeds, understand and nurture them, they will burst into life, put down deep roots, and as a result, we too become sowers. How we live our lives and our actions change. If we know and love Jesus, how can we not bless others? Love mercy. Fight for justice, equality and fairness. Demonstrated in the way we behave, sow our kingdom seeds. For example, who we vote for, how we use our resources and spend our money, being good stewards and caring for God's creation, where we invest our treasure and build God's kingdom here on earth. So what have we learnt? The soil invites us to examine our inner selves. What kind of dirt am I? The seeds are contained in the Maker's handbook, the Bible and Scripture, and the grace that he pours out freely for all of us if we ask and are open to receive. The sower is God himself, sowing with incredible, unconditional generosity, never counting the cost. So it's all about the unconditional love and generosity of the Father. Finally, I saw this beautiful wildflower island on a lawn nearby. Despite having been mown regularly and controlled for years, and originally sown on builders' rocky garden soil, within a short time of leaving the island unmanaged, The dormant seed bank in the soil has flourished, and many species of wild flowers have reclaimed and healed the land. At a time like this, with the world in chaos at all levels, never has consulting the Maker's Handbook to understand how we all need to change, to regenerate healthy, life-giving soil, been more important. Instead of desperately trying to get back to the old normal, let us prayerfully seek a future with a new Christ-centered normal.